Blog Talk Radio.
Gordy, you know what that means,
put
right?
The needle on the record.
That's right, word, man. This is Wednesday night. You know what that means. This is the Indigenous Power Hour Activism Show. And with my hostess and that, her name is Indy41. But before we go on to the show, you know what's going to happen.
Hey, hi, hi.
Find us on PlainOradio.com. Wednesday night, the Indigenous Power Hour, Indigenous Power Hour Activism Show. We are always here to honor the people.
Thank you.
in the 401. Are you there?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Santacori, and welcome, relatives.
Why are you so formal, though?
Huh?
I love it when you're so formal. Call me Mr. Makes me feel important, man.
You are very important, and I just, you know, out of gratitude and out of respect, you know?
You're the best. Thank you, man. We're, man, you know, I had a bad couple of days, you know, past bad week, but you always seem to get me up there, get me in the saddle, right? Never failed. No playing around with Indy 4-1.
Well, you know, we got to. That's the medicine, you know, is we've got to keep each other lifted. You know, the higher we vibrate, you know, the harder it is for those low vibrations.
Wow.
Affect us. You know what I mean? Mm. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, attitudes can be very addictive. I'm sure you've been around somebody, you know, before who was slamming things and, you know, you're doing the same thing. And, you know, nothing wrong with saying, you know what, you know, I can't have that. And so, you know, I appreciate you for that, you know, and being source for me, you know, because you are very positive and very genuine, you know, and we need share those qualities and point out those examples because, you know, we kind of lack some of those models or examples or, you know, some people just don't have, they don't have a moral compass or they don't have manners, you know? And so, you know,
that's it.
As people, we're very, we're quick to study one another, you know? We're quick to, well, here's a good example, women. When they get dressed, it's never for the opposite sex. So it's not for men that we get dressed for. We will get dressed for another female because we're trying to impress our peers. So for women, you know, it's another, you know, it's another woman, you know, with these bad boots of mine, you know, or this, you know, and we've, I wish people could really get to that point where, you know, you see the spiritual in a person, the spirit, not what they got on, not what they're driving, you know, because you can't take none of that with you. And that by no means is a measure of anyone's wealth, you know, any materialistic or, you know, and, you know, we already deal with not knowing who we are, you know, we usually bring representatives of us when we interact with different people, you know, we bring a different representative, you know, we don't always give people the same version of us,
interesting,
you know, so, you know, give more of that, I think, that genuine, transparency. I think we could, you know, really start these long-term relationships. You know, we lack that. We lack, you know, interpersonal skills. But even more importantly, we lack relationships with one another. You know,
relationships. Good old relationships,
Dang it. Because I have a relationship,
you know,
with my mailman recently because I lost my keys. You know what I mean? Can't check my mail without him. So, you know, we got all kinds of relationships.
Oh, man. You know what? You had to bring up the post office, huh? I've been having problems with the post office for 6 months now. Still trying to get my key, P.O. box. Not my money back. But I spoke to three good customer service people. For the past 2 weeks, I've been speaking to some nice people on the phone. And they kind of helped me out, which is cool, you know, perfect strangers, you know. Says, yeah, I understand. And they went beyond the company script, you know, just to help me out.
I want to know where my check
angry.
Is.
Yeah, right.
What I mean? That's what I want to know. And from where it's coming from and where I'm at, it's just them, the mailman and ladies, and me. So one is blaming the other, and I just want my mail. I just want that mail in particular, you know?
You want to hear something crazy? I was reading a story about, this is something that has nothing to do with indigenous powwow, but maybe about courage. I was reading about the Titanic, right? The ship that wouldn't sink, right? Until the iceberg hit it. But check it out. I was reading there was five postal workers on the Titanic, five of them, and they all died protecting the mail.
Damn it.
Protecting the mail. I'm like, what?
Isn't that what the captain's supposed to do, too? The captain's supposed to stay with the
ship,
what
right?
Is it, the bow?
I think he did.
Not the bow, but the steering wheel or whatever, the captain's, whatever. He's supposed to stay there. And then who else? Well, they said the orchestra went down. The orchestra went down with the, who else? The mail people.
Well, the mail, yeah. They were protecting the mail. They didn't leave the mail behind. And they all drowned, the five postal workers.
Dang it.
Incredible. And check it out, the most tragic death, I mean, all tragic deaths, but the most tragic for me, personally, was, man, this has nothing to do with indigenous, but courage. The people that were working the boiler rooms, way under the ship, working those boiler rooms, when there's, they're airtight, watertight. So when there is an emergency, there's an automatic lever that shuts those doors. So water doesn't get into the boiler room. Those are the first people that drowned. The water didn't get in there because they were tight. But they probably suffocated to death when the ship went down. There was no air.
That it was heat.
There was what?
The heat.
That's it. There was no air. Imagine dying. That's like, geez, doing their job.
Drowning's
you know?
Already bad enough.
Yeah, man. That's no good with
no air. The boiler room? Wow.
But you know what? I do got an indigenous. Check it out. I just found out that the word vegetarian is an indigenous word. Can you believe that? Vegetarian.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Vegetarian. You know what it
that
means?
Knowledge. Tell me.
Bad hunter. The poor soul, man. He couldn't. He was stuck eating vegetables. You missed the mark.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hey, you got to bring it back in. Bad hunter. He who cannot hunt. Hey, I'm sorry, man. I'm just trying to bring it back to the indigenous world, man. What's up?
So, you know?
Hey, you know what? I don't know if you ever saw this show. I was visiting someone at the ER, and they had a TV program going the whole day long. It was the Alaskan Bush people. It's in the Discovery Channel, I think. It talks about these people that live in Alaska, the Bush people. Did it say Bush people? The last Alaskan, I think it said Bush people. But they were living off the land in Alaska, you know. So, it was quite interesting how they were living off the land. So I said, wow, that's like the indigenous ways that they live in. But it was cold. It got cold. And the winter came, the harsh winter. And it was just trying their best. But I don't know. I kind of sensed that they were really, really struggling to get it, you know.
Was it a family?
It was several families, maybe four families or something like that.
Brown? Was it the Browns?
Hmm?
Brown Town?
You know what? I was just watching like maybe five shows back to back to back. But I don't, it was one guy, he's really old guy. He's like the leader of it. He has a long beard.
With the beard? Yeah, it's the Browns, Brown Town.
Oh, you know them? But it's way up in the moons. Up in the mountains.
Yeah, I know them, and I know the Dynasty Duck people.
Get out. Personally, you know
them? No, but I'm saying I watch them shows.
Oh.
I've watched them. I was a fan of the Dynasty.
I
like Uncle Spot.
But. You know what? In a lot of these shows, it's like it's always like snowy and icy, extreme conditions. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to put my bid in. Somewhere in a tropical island somewhere. How about that, man? Reality show on that. How to live off the land. You know, but the only thing that,
like a good place, though.
The only struggle is the mosquitoes, you know? But damn, man, they never do anything like that, right? Like, everything's always harsh and cold.
Yeah, but not really. Think about all them survivors. Them survivor shows.
Yeah.
They were.
I never got into that.
Oh, me neither, but I know they were on some, like, tropical way to hell out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scorching weather. Some Amazon-like
mm-hmm.
stuff. You know? Maybe what we wouldn't call, you know, a threat, you know, so.
Because
look at
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff you've shown me is off the grid.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did I ever tell you the story? Did I ever tell you the story that I was living in Corozal for 4 months trying to find myself, you know? And,
where is that?
Corozal is a little town, it's a little mountainous town off maybe 30 minutes from San Juan. And it has a lot of history of chiefs that live there. And the people there, are, you know, you look at them, they strong phenotype, indigenous, and different mixtures. Mostly indigenous folks are the descendants, you know, and it's it used to be the place where they brought the Indian slaves to work on the sugar cane industry. So these are descendants of those slaves from the sugar cane to make rum. Yeah, good old rum, right, for the Spaniards,
right.
The invaders. So
right. There's
a famous river in that town, right? So my car wasn't working at the time, so I hiked it to get to this river. And they say that the river is so deep that you can drown. So they warn people not to swim in it. So I go, right? And, the first thing that I realized that this was a mistake was all those, I guess you guys call res dogs. Well, they have it in Puerto Rico, man.
They res dogs.
I got off the highway, got off the road, followed the trail on the map, and I saw these little houses here and there. But those little houses here and there, they have dogs. And those suckers were, they didn't bite me, but they scared the hell out of me, but they didn't bite me. Uh-huh.
I was told if there ain't no dogs mm-hmm. around, don't eat there. But if there's dogs around, eat there, because if a dog won't eat it, you better not eat it.
Holy crap. Oh.
For real.
Man, that's some
always been
indigenous
that.
Knowledge
like,
right there.
Especially if you go, you know, like Mexico. I don't, what? It's Turtle Island, but, you know, if we go that, whatever it's called now, I've always been told that. If there aren't dogs there, because they run in packs down there too. They run anywhere people are. And
I'm
for
a witness.
Like, well, Lakota, that is, they're a sacred animal.
Yeah.
Those dog packs. So, you know, we are, I mean, they are something special to us.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
let's check this out.
I mean,
well, I got off the road, middle of nowhere. I didn't see any people. I saw some houses. You know, this is the mountain area. I was climbing up, and I went old school. Stand still, don't move, let them smell you. If they like you, you can go ahead. And that's what happened. They all took turns smelling me, you know, and then they let me go. I was like, damn it, today's my lucky day. So, but check this out, it gets worse. So I'm going up, right? I'm going up. I get lost. The map was totally, I don't know. Whoever did this map didn't finish it. So I'm lost. I find a pickup truck, a whole bunch of guys in it, because now I'm in the farm, you know. I'm trespassing. And in Spanish, they're like, hey, ¿qué le pasa? You know, I'm like, hey, no, I'm lost. Estoy perdido, you know. ¿Qué tú quieres? Like, real, like, stern. Like, what do I want, you know? Say, no, estoy buscando el charco. El charco de Congo, it's called. I don't know how to spell that in Spanish. How do I say that in Spanish? It's like the water hole of Congo. And something like that. And they were like, wow, está perdido. Wow, you're lost. So they gave me another, trail to go to, and any Boricuas are listening right now, anyone from the islands, and probably on the res, you know, yeah, go straight ahead, and when you get to the fourth tree, you're going to make a right, then you're going to see another trail, when you see the flamboyant tree, you're going to make a left there. I mean, this is a forest, you know, I'm like, what? I think they were messing with me, man, so they let me go, and I actually did find the second, the tree they told me about, the flamboyant, and I hear the water, the waterfall. That was the happiest dude. Like, I can't believe it. City boy like me, I found it, this is great. And then I can see it in the distance, like a waterfall off a boulder, hugest boulder I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, all right, this is beautiful. I'm hot, I'm sweating, it's like 100 degrees. I'm going to get in that water, right? So I found the trail that goes down to the river, right? And straight out of the rain, I'm like in a rainforest right now. The mosquitoes are biting me. And guess what was right in front of me where the guy was leading me down this trail? The biggest bull I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
With the biggest horns. Looked like one
Did
of those Texas longhorns.
Yes.
Nah, he didn't, but he looked at me like, oh, really? You have an idea about coming here?
Okay.
Really stern look. It's like someone's grandfather was pissed off, you know? Like, I just stole something from grandpa, you know? He's like, really? I'm like, so I got a little closer to see if I could get around him. And he turns. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I was turning, he turned. And, yo, this is straight out of the cartoons.
Right,
He moves that foot. I'm like, oh, snap. This is like the cartoons, man. I better stop. Because I had the idea to go around. So I did all this hike, passed all these dogs, got in trouble to meet this bull. I think those guys knew that bull was there.
Maybe that was your animal spirit, because
I'm sending you a picture of the bull. It's on my Facebook. I took a photo of him, actually.
No kidding.
Then,
you got a picture of it?
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's in my Facebook. But the thing was that I never got down that river, man. I never got to go down there. After all of this, man. Because that bull was just guarding the spot. And then, of course, I had to turn back. I had to find the trail again. This time was I going uphill? No, I was going downhill. And guess who was waiting for me? Those deer dogs. And, of course, I guess they had dementia, I think, because they didn't remember me. So they had to take turns again, smelling me and barking.
How do you know those were the same dogs?
They look like the same dogs. I don't know. Maybe they weren't.
Might have looked like the same dogs, but them might not have been the same dogs.
Oh, my God. I think you're right, because they all did the same thing. They all, like they wanted to attack me.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they
so
did.
Just sniff
around.
Oh my God. And then once they were done, they let me go. And it's, of course, there's always this little chihuahua that wants to make the biggest noise. So he let me go.
Why is it the little ones? I used to have a neighbor dog. No joke. I used to have a Rottweiler. And I mean Rottweiler. Okay. This dog was trained before I got it. And it was trained in German commands so that only I, once I learned the commands, could, you know, control the dog. This was to keep, other people from, you know, breaking that security between us. You know what I mean? And across the street from me was this little, I don't know what you call it, but it was poodle and chihuahua.
No kidding.
I don't even know how to say it.
What was it?
What would be a chihuahua poodle mix?
Oh, geez. I never heard of that one.
Me neither.
Chihuahua poo? How about that one?
It's a poodle?
Chihuahua. That's a good name. But you know what? You see those chihuahuas, right? See how harsh they are and mean and all that? Did you know that they're actually were the official watchdog of the cacique, the chief of the Aztec nation? So imagine 100 of those guarding the palace or guarding the chief house.
Right.
You ain't getting by. Yeah, Chihuahuas from Mexico, the great Mexica nation. They guarded the house of the chief.
Egyptian would use cats.
Oh, that's right, the cats, right? Cats will attack.
Right. That's the
cougar, right?
But I thought Siamese. I know Siamese were guard cats.
That's right, a Siamese cat. They were the guards, right?
Right, and lynx. I think they were domesticated or something like that. The lynx, the hairless. Those one hairless, I don't know, but they kind of look a little Chinese-ish. I don't know. Mm. I don't know. I've seen some big cats before, like big ones. Like, you thought they were pumas, you know what I mean?
No. Yeah.
Like big ones.
It's interesting. Nice. This is wildlife is something else. I'm telling you, when I was in that wildlife up in Corozal, it was beautiful, you know. Oh, here's another true story. This is my best story I ever had about Puerto Rico. The first 2 weeks I was there, right, I had rented a place, right? No electricity, no water because, you know, in Puerto Rico, you have to get your water to get your electricity. And I couldn't get to the town. You have to go to, like, town, like five towns over, you know, like what? I had no car. So I had to wait 2 weeks to get this stuff going on. So I was bathing with the Poland Spring water, about the gallons.
Uh-huh.
And then when I would charge my phone in the local town, these plazas, they have these outlets.
Uh-huh.
And I will go at night, and you know there's always this thing you can't walk at night because of the because of the thieves and all that stuff, you know.
The thieves.
So, just, you know, the bandidos,
no
right, they say, right?
No banshees I don't know, because we got stories of why you don't go out at night, and it's never thieves.
No. Oh, yeah. No, Homo sapiens, you know.
Right.
So I said, you know what? I said, let me put my meanest bandana, get my hair long, just walk these streets. And I would do it at night, and people look at me like, yo, this dude's crazy. Who the hell is this guy, you know, walking the streets? You know,
yeah.
And of course they had the wild, you know, they had the guard dogs, and after a while they barked at me, whatever. So I would go, I said, I got to get this, my phone juiced. And all these stray dogs would come at night, the stray dogs, and it would just chill with me. I never had that experience ever in my life. These are the only friends I had. Nobody would talk to me. No, but nobody would talk to me in this town because I was new. And I had one friend, actually. And these dogs would come. So
and your dog pet.
Huh?
You had friends. You had friends. You had the one friend and the dog pound.
Yep.
That's all you needed.
And
that's all you needed right there.
Now everyone's listening from Puerto Rico, Boninquen. There's a canned food that's very famous down there. It kept a lot of people alive during Hurricane Maria. It's called Carmela. It's like Vienna sausages, but they call it Carmela. And it's a beautiful, stereotypical Puerto Rican looking model on the can, but a cartoon.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
From the 1950s, it looks like, from the 1950s with the high heels, the hair. So these things, it's the best sausages you can ever eat. It's really bad for you, I guess, but it's the taste.
Potted meat.
Yeah. So I will bring a whole bunch of cans for the dogs, and they'll eat it up, man. We eat it. You know, that's our dinner, you know. And they'll wait for me every night for 2 weeks. They'll wait for me. And then when I would go down the hill, all the pit bulls yelling at me, I would say, here, I'll just chuck these sausages. They were real cheap. It was 50 cents a can. 50 cents a can. You know, when I left that town, I really lamented those dogs, man. They were my friends. I left my friends. Mi pobre perejito.
Well,
they're pretty sacred.
To the Lakotas, very sacred.
The dogs,
and
right?
There's a lot of, yes. And the dog pack, you know, because they would warn us,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
of anything. Very loyal, you know. They would just follow us, you know. And so, you know, I have to share the story of, you know,
mm-hmm.
what Shunka, that's how you say it in Lakota.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh wow,
I have to share that story. Yeah. Were you finished? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm just saying that when I left the town, there were some friends I made, and it was really sad leaving them. But those dogs, man, they kept me sane for those first 2 weeks.
I'm,
you know,
when
you have
you.
No friends, you're just chilling, you got no friends, you got no electricity, it's like, my God. But those dogs will come. And they will protect me, too. That's the thing, because, you know, it's dangerous at night. It's true. They were right. You got people that will try to rob you or jump you, you know, because, you know, there's poverty, you know, that does that to you. But
oh, for sure.
And then I made friends with them, too. Oh, that's another story.
Right.
Yeah.
Little places. I mean, I don't know, because that's everyday living for me, and those are my friends. You know what I mean? They're my relatives.
They were my friends. They were the friendliest people.
I believe it. You know what I mean? And, gosh, got to elevate. We got to just keep elevating one another.
But you know what? Before you do your story, I'm sorry I cut you off, but true story.
No, I wasn't.
At night when I walk the streets, I wear my bandana, but I also wear my jewelry, my Taino jewelry, you know. Oh. Not traditional collars. The collars, the necklaces are like protectors, you know?
Right.
Every person that I found in the street late at night, either the, what do you call it? Either they were high on K2 or you know, heroin or whatever, you know? They strung out. They would look at me like if I'm like from 1492. I guess they would be hallucinating, like, oh, shit. It says, you Indio? You Indian? I'm like, yeah. And they will ask for a blessing. I couldn't leave until I gave them a blessing, you know?
Oh,
and that,
yeah.
I found was the deepest thing I ever experienced. Like, wow.
Human in here.
And some would say, boho, like a cleansing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'll see them sober, and they're like, oh, you're the Indian guy. And they'll hug me. Like, oh, man. Muchas gracias, you know, thank you so much, man, that helped me, you know, the Indian is with me, the Indio, you know, so I'm like, oh my Lord, it's like, wow. So that was my spiritual experience in the island.
Well, that was a good one.
The people that I consider demons, you know, of society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the damn.
The most love.
And they only say that because think about who's calling them that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that class separation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that oppression. Just that nasty ass colonization.
Mm-hmm.
Call it like we see it. You know what I'm saying? That's all that is. Because you know that territory was colonized. So, I mean, that's all that is. It's one of those unlearning things that we got to unlearn, you know?
And in Corozal, there's no 24-hour emergency room. If you're strung out, you OD, you're dead, you know? And I experienced that a couple of times, too. I couldn't take anyone to the ER because there was no ER. You had to go to Bayamon, which is a half-hour car ride. I didn't have a car, so it was like, damn, you're stuck. This is USA.
It's crazy. Well, no, that you brought that up because, you know, that the one of the threats right now against everyone is
overdosing,
you know, all throughout the region, but especially here in the Midwest, you know, it's been a nonstop thing. And I guess the cocaine and crack and stuff is been laced with fentanyl. And they have been, you know, producing a lot of, you know, stories about it. But they're even going as far as what to do if you, you know, about how to obtain Narcan spray. Then they're literally recommending that we carry it as part of a first aid kit. Is that, I'm a nurse, you know, and I know how to administer that, and I hate that we have to, you know, have this knowledge, but they're sharing that, where to obtain it and how to administer it, because, you know, it's kind of like smelling salt, but you've got to massage the chest. And I hate that I have to say this. You know what I mean? That I have to share this info, but it is a real threat right now, and especially in our indigenous community. Really, any community affected, you know, by poverty. That's
poverty, right?
And, you know, poverty is always associated with substance abuse. You know?
It's there.
But you should run into that yourselves, relatives, that don't have Narcan, because most of us don't have Narcan because we don't deal with this. Massage the chest. Just beat their chest, you know, and it's got to be a rough in the sternum kind of area, but it's basically you're trying to get that circulation going in the heart, because what it's done is it literally stops the heart. I just, and we're talking nanograms. Nanogram amounts can put you into an overdose. But the patches, the 24-hour patches for, you know, those class 5, you know, substance, because it, I understand fentanyl is above heroin, right? So it's up there, I think, just above, what is that? Something, dome? Methadone.
Oh, yeah, the methadone, yeah. Treat heroin addiction, right?
Yes. So it's way up there. And, you know, and I'm telling you, we've had, I think the last count was 35 or 36 overdoses just in my city alone.
Jeez, that's tough, man.
That it is. It is. And it really hit close to home for me. Two people very close to me, very, very close to me. And, unfortunately, in both their cases, this is only the beginning, you know. They're not ready to give the substance up, you know. And I just pray that my relatives, you know, that they can overcome this, you know, because the truth is, you know, a lot of us are looking for apologies. Apologies that are never coming.
Nah, they ain't
you get
coming.
What I'm saying? And right, we gotta apologize to ourselves, because a lot of it is shit we brought on ourselves at a certain point. It's what we did to ourselves, and it's taking that accountability for the shit we allowed. You know, because, you know, there's, you know, even with domestic violence, you know, where is the accountability for staying?
Okay.
Where is the accountability for going back every time you did go? So those are apologies that need to be also said to ourselves. You know, now I could see it if you were boxed in. In some locked box underground and there was no out. But a lot of the times it's really not that. It's we just let them back in, you know? And then we go blaming examples like maybe our parents or, you know, we never hear that side of domestic violence that, I should have left the first time he smacked the shit out of me. You know what I mean? Instead, I smacked him back, and then we went and laid up for 3 days drinking or whatever.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it wasn't that. You know, I mean, it's whatever. But what I wanted to talk about, if you're ready, you know, to move on, I just wanted to bring up you know, our babies, you know, the boarding school. And, you know, I've been on the search for what the correct number is, and it's still up there in limbo, okay?
Wow.
So what I have for a current number for the babies recovered. Now, remember not too long ago, I was telling you about how Blue Quill, how there was a fake post going around that added 1,100 to the count because they said Blue Quill. That's how many were recovered from Blue Quill. And then I went and researched and found out they haven't even searched there yet. So my thing, too, was are these numbers varying because okay, remember Carlisle? Remember that was one? And mm-hmm. one that we discussed, right? And I told you about the 9 that went back to Rosebud, to my track. And that count has 189, but that was the babies of the unmarked graves. So they're adding both numbers is what I'm saying. Mm. Ones that are known with the unmarked graves, because, you know, like Carlisle's history has always stated, the 189 unmarked graves. They haven't done the, you know, that pulsar, mm-hmm. that ground penetrating stuff at Carlisle. So these numbers are what is known as well as combined with what has been recently discovered. So that number for Canada and U.S., according to this report that I have, and this is through the recovery, the recovery children's report, okay? And so it's 6,128. And Canada's number is 5,048. And those schools are Kamloops, which is in British Columbia, 215 babies. Brandon, Manitoba, is 104. Fort Providence, 161. Musqueam is 35. Cowessess, 751. I don't know how to say this. I'm going to say try to. Kitunatsa Nation, British Columbia, is 182. With Penobscot, 163, 35 out of Regina, 39 out of Dunbo, 74 out of Battle Fort, and 80 in Winnipeg. Mm. For the U.S., we have 227 from Mount Pleasant and Carlisle. 189, Grand Junction, Colorado, 21, 50 wow. out of Rapid City, 103 out of Haskell, 200 out of Carson City, Nevada, the Chemwa out of Oregon is 222, Newkirk, Oklahoma, 67, and another 67 rediscovered in Riverside, California.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Right. So, you know, relatives, I just want, you know, we just had the young lady who's been in national media. You know, there's been a lot of coverage over, you know, the efforts to find this young lady, and by no means should this happen to anyone's daughter or anyone's son or
that's
brother.
In Washington State, right?
Right. And big thing is relatives are we can't keep saying the same old thing, okay? We can't keep blaming the efforts of finding ours on mainstream media. Because letting those people tell our story is how we became invisible. This is why our stuff is not in mainstream media.
Oh.
So what I'm trying to convey, any of ours that are missing, that is our job to find them, first off, okay? But second of all, it is still our job to get that information out. Third, change is here. So it's time to create these platforms ourselves and tell our own story. Right. Now, if you don't see nothing, there is plenty of platforms free of charge, like Facebook, Instagram. You spend all day on there liking and tagging and you know, going live. Create that platform. If you don't, if you don't see it on the news, make it, create it. But we can, we've never been able to rely on anyone else other than ourselves.
Yep.
Right? So it's 2021. And y'all know how to use them iPhones real well. Please believe me. I be seeing your pics. I see your, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? I see the fake floss and I see the fake lifestyles and images and, you know, you got time for that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the shit that matters? Find time for that. Instead of saying the same old thing, blaming them, because them is why we are invisible. And we ain't the minority. We ain't the minority. We are the majority. And again, you know my opinion on this, Santa Corey.
That's right.
This, it all ends when we decide. And you know I have nothing but love for my own. There is. I believe we are the truth. I believe in First Nation. I just need my relatives to believe too. I need them to believe in themselves.
That's right.
Okay, you can have the mic back.
I
love our people, Anna Corey.
No, me too, man. You know,
I know you do.
I still remember the day, man. I'll never forget this day. I was, every day I'm job hunting, you know, and I'm not getting the jobs. When I was in Puerto Rico, Borinquen, and I'll buy a $5 meal, you know, for, it would be my brunch, and I'll eat a snack during the nighttime. That a local merchant, you know, those merchants, that they will sell fruits and vegetables, whatever, plantains.
Right.
Whatever they couldn't sell, they'll leave it there on their stand, right? So people can pick it up. They didn't throw it away. They'll keep it there. So
right.
It was right by my house. So I would pick some stuff up, and, man, it was like a banquet, you know? And that would be like my dinner. And then I'll get my brunch, $5 meal. And the guy will always ask me every day, the owner. He says, oh, did you get your job? Did you get your job? I'm like, no, man, I'm still hunting. I'm not giving up. And he's like, yeah, don't give up, man. You'll get it. Right? And then finally, when I finally broke the news to him, like, ah, I think I may have to go back to New York, you know? I got kids to provide, and I'm running out of money. And he's like, he looked at me, he's like, oh, man, no way. No, man, you got to stay. You got to stay, you know? And he was a stranger in the beginning, you know? And then finally I said, yeah, I think it's not my time yet. You know, I think it's time to throw in the towel, you know. Because, you know, in Puerto Rico, you get 60% less money. Same job here in the U.S. You know?
Right,
60%
less.
Huge pay cut. So finally, there was a whole bunch of people eating, you know. So he bends over and he whispers in my ear. He goes, Louis, you know, he goes, if you ever need food, don't even ask, you know?
Yeah.
And just like that. And I looked up at him. I'm like, man, with my tear in my eye, you know, he's like looking out for me, man, with family, you know?
Right.
And I was like, ah, damn. So I never got a chance to say bye to him because I was just like, nah, man, no way. I just can't say bye to
him. Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but we never say goodbye. We never say goodbye.
Right? Is that Indigenous thing? We never say goodbye, right?
Right. And here's something else. Here's something else I picked up from that.
Mm-hmm.
It was that humbling experience, but also that was man-to-man kind of stuff because you know how hard it is.
Yeah.
Behind that mask of masculinity.
Yeah, that's it.
Even ask for help.
Yeah.
To even say I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And that was a pressure he took off of you, man to man. You know
it,
what I
man.
Mean? First thing I felt out your story, you know, with, you know, sharing that. And that's, again, relatives, beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
You've ever been in that position? You've ever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just let somebody know that it's okay and say those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ease, you know, because this is your relative. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
I don't know.
And you know what's crazy?
Go ahead.
This guy is, I don't know if I should mention his name, but he used to be a world-class boxer in the welterweight division in boxing. He fought all the great boxing champs, you know? And he never, he was like the number one contender and never won the belt. And I remember one day, you know, you can notice in his face, this guy's a boxer. He's been in wars, you know, with his nose broken and all that. So finally he says, yeah, you probably saw me fight. I'm like, damn it, who are you? He said, and when he gave me his name, I'm like, oh, shit, I remember you, man. I used to remember, like, come on, you can do it, you know. And he never could get that knockout. So he told me the reason why I never won the belt because women were more important and booze was more important and, you know, having a friend all night was more important than putting in extra effort to be the champ of the world, you know. And he was so cool about it. Like, yeah, man, I learned my lesson. Now I'm selling food and this is my life, man. But I love it. I love feeding people, you know. And I'm like, wow, that's deep.
Mm-hmm.
He has a little like RV kind of thing set up. And now one day this old guy comes, right? This old elder, you know. And he parks his car, and I guess they were friends. They had to be friends because they would automatically started joking around. And I said, and he didn't know me, the guy, the elder. And he's like, hey, man, so you know my brother here? You know him? He said, yeah. He's like, yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, he's the, how did he say it in Spanish? Well, I'll say it in English. He's the number one champion. He's the number one champion in Puerto Rico, the number one champion in girls, you know, like, and he just started, like, dissing him.
All right.
Yeah, he says, he was a contender, but he won the girls. That was his belt. That was his championship.
Central number one.
So he's, like, teasing he's teasing him like, hell, man. I'm like, what the hell? Then some other people showed up and they're teasing, but they all love him, you know? They all love him.
Yeah.
But the teasing was like, oh, damn, he's taking it, you know?
That's all he can do. That's all he can do. He knows he fucked up. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Yep. But but when I started hanging around more, that old guy used to come all the time checking in on him, you know, making sure he was all right. So it's like that you know, that brotherly kind of,
yeah,
stuff that we're kind of missing here in New York, you know, like that whole, like, I got your back, man, you know?
Right. We're like, missing that all over.
It's got that tribal way. It's that tribal way, you know, that tribal kind of like, yeah, you're my brother. You know,
yeah
you could have been a millionaire. Yeah, you could have been the champ. I still love you.
You know? Anyways, I love you anyways.
I don't know. It was just like, and then it's like, yeah, well, how about you? You know, this and that. No, they go off on each other, you know?
Yeah.
Was...
And that's that camaraderie. You know, that's, you said that brotherhood, that's supposed to take place.
Yep.
High or low on your horse. High horse or low horse.
Yeah.
Oh?
Yep. They have so much fun, man. We have so much fun. And it's 100 degrees outside. We don't care. We're just chilling, you know? And,
is it humid? Is it humid?
Was that?
Is it
no,
humid?
No. In Puerto Rico, it's dry heat. It burns you, but you don't suffocate.
Huh.
You can breathe, you know? And in Puerto Rico, it's cool. Every day it rains a little bit, like you get a shower. I never see people with umbrellas, man, because they absorb that water to cool them off.
Right. Or shower.
Yeah, a little shower.
You know?
Yeah.
I let my kids go out and play in the rain every time it rains.
Wow.
It's that cleansing. But let's see. What God, you know, that's what she does. Every time it rains, she cleanses.
Mm-hmm.
Or her children. We're children of the earth. We're not God's children.
Mm-hmm.
Not as in G-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We are earth children.
It was great living in the island for those 4 months. And it's, I knew how to come back to New York, but it was, for those 4 months, no, maybe 3.5 months.
Yourself? Did you find?
Actually, true story. Ready for this?
Yes.
When I didn't have electricity, there's no fan, you know, there's no air conditioner and you sweat and there's mosquitoes beyond you, you know, But that's when you really figure out who you are. Like, you really, you know, that, you know, you wake up middle of the night, you're like, what the hell am I doing here? These mosquitoes, what am I doing? It's like, for those 2 weeks, it was like, all right, this is no joke. You know, who are you? Who are you, Sinai Gordy? What are you doing here? So I knew I had to, like, pour it on, you know, I had to keep at it. It's like Vision Quest, right? Like,
Right. All right.
You know?
And what a great place, you know, like where your origin is, you know, where you originate.
Yeah.
What better place?
Exactly.
Bittersweet.
Oh, man. Yep.
Because I believe you need some more time there.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. And, you know, it was between that. I get you, man. And the people, and never, like I said, man, from the people that lived on the streets, drugs, you know, to the people in Burger King.
All of
that.
All of, you know?
Yeah. You know, I used to go to Burger King at night. It used to open up till 2 in the morning, and I used to go to Burger King for the air conditioner, you know? Sometimes it'd be so hot. And sometimes it'll be the same people. I guess they need an air conditioner too. But as soon as I get in.
I don't know.
Huh?
Because, listen, around here, there's a McDonald's gangs here. And it's old folk. They go and meet up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They go and meet up in the morning. So there's like a gang of old guys over here. And then there's a gang of women over here, you know, and I swear to God, the women always got lipstick on and their hair is set. I don't know. I don't know. That might be a gathering place. That might be the, what is that?
The
new dating place.
Yeah. If I ever have a lot of money, I'm going to do a tribal movie on, you know, from Taino. It will be, the setting will be Burger King. Because I remember, I'm telling you, man, I remember I used to sit in the same table every time when my little, I had a little iPad at the time, and I would go on the job search, you know. And this is like midnight, you know, midnight, one in the morning, you know. Same people come in, hey, did you get the job? Did you get the job? I'm like, nah, man, still looking. You know, people always ask, like, these are strangers, you know. Eventually became friends. The guy at the cashier guy, the server, they already knew what I was going to order before I ordered.
Of course they did.
And it's like, yo, this doesn't happen in New York, man.
Oh, yeah, there's too much hustle and bustle up
there.
Oh,
my God. And
it's a lot of noise.
Like, oh, my God. And then I got the one of the cashier women, you know, they ultimately the cashier and cleaning. And she used to also ask me about the job search. She'll talk about her car. Oh, I just bought a car, like this and that. And, you know, get me to my other job, you know. And it was like, then you got another family who show up and you start talking about them. And then there was one cool guy I met. He had a limp. It's almost like polio, but it wasn't polio.
It was polio. It probably was.
Huh?
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It probably was.
He had a limp.
Mm-hmm.
But he spoke the perfect English. And when he found out that I was speaking, you know, I was from New York, he would always wait for me and he would talk. He'll throw me these poems, like spoken word. And I said, dude, where did you learn this English, man? Vocabulary is so strong. He said, as a kid, I watched the American shows and the cartoons.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they got the cable, you know, just like they get the American shows.
Right.
And that's how he learned. And so he was doing, I said, bro, we got to get you on the stage, man, and blah, blah, blah. And then he would test his skills out with me. And, man, it's like I miss all those times, man. It's like, damn.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, that's my first experience of a true tribe. In modern Puerto Rico, there you go, man. We're having fun. We're a tribe.
And it is. And that's,
right?
Listen,
like the Reds, right?
I know all about that. I know all about that. And that's what it's about, is finding your own tribe.
Right?
We gotta get past these egos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the of how we identify. Part of that solidarity we can't, you know, achieve. You know how I feel. I say that we need to hang our tribes up at the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before we walk in, you know. That way we can just be us. We can just be a brother or a sister to one another, or, you know what I mean? Or an auntie, you know?
Yeah.
Big aunt love, you know? Because it's those type of interactions that you really find out about people in yourself. And you ain't calling yourself by Lakota or Taino or Seneca or, you know what I mean? All that's it's not present at that point. What is present is your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to that original touch.
And you know, I think I told you that I used to, I was training down there, to get some wrestling matches, get some wrestling experience in Puerto Rico. And I remember I went to one town that took me in, way up in the mountain. Like, we're going up the mountain to get to this town to do the wrestling. It was in a mountain town.
Are they mass wrestlers? You know what mass?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them were.
What is that called? What is that called when they have those masks on or whatever?
Oh,
Lucha
Libre.
Lucha Libre. Okay.
Lucha Libre.
Yeah, not
Lucha,
Nacho
like
Libre.
Struggle.
Not Nacho Libre.
Not Nacho Libre.
But Lucha
Libre? Yeah. Lucha Libre. That's the Lucha Libre style. But it echoes the old indigenous, you know, the mask wearing, like a spiritual experience. The warrior, the ancient warriors with the masks, you know. It's rooted in that. But I remember going to the matches, and they made me a heel, you know, like the bad guy one match. I heard stories in Puerto Rico, like, if they don't really like you, if they hate you, they can slash your tires, you know, like, and try to jump you, you know, right? That's like old school, if you're really good bad guy, you know? So afterwards, some men approached me. I'm like, oh, shoot, here it comes. You know, I'm going to get it, right? And they come up to me, and they're like, good job, bro. Good job, hermano. And they bought me some beer. like, what the? In a little small town, you know, in the mountain. So, of course, I couldn't say no, right? It's respectful, right? So, I'm like, oh, man. So I had some beers with them. They're having fun. So, yeah, we like you. We're good. You're good. Yeah, yeah. You know, I was like, oh, man. So I fell in love with that. You know, I was like, dang, you got the elders now, you know? So, telling you, man, this is... You know, one day we got to do a show on this, you know, and maybe we'll get Natalie and some Thainos on board to talk about our common our common, as indigenous peoples, what's common among us?
Yeah.
What's common among our people, you know? Some come from the north, like yourself, way down the south. But there's a common behavior, right, in indigenous people.
Right. A denominator, a common thread, a common way, custom. It's all of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, when in Arayeke Yukayek, the sponsoring this show, we're tribal nation, indigenous nation. Taino Nation, and our cacique chief, she's Stephanie Inaru Boria, and when I first met her, it was at a PTA event in Long Island, and this is the first time I ever met her. She had hired me to do a show for the kids, you know, an indigenous show, and I saw her in action. She had cooked all this food, and she organized everything, you know. And I looked at him like, oh, shit, this is a chief right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is chief.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then I told her, I probably won't see you again because I'm going to Puerto Rico. I was ready for my Puerto Rico trip, you know. But, man, you're great, man. I hope you, you know, keep it up. Keep the good work, man. You're getting the kids happy. Teachers are happy. You know, you're a good worker, you know. And that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
Woman who works, who's working. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So guess what? When I came back, I was looking for her. I said, damn, we got to do something. And now she's the chiefess, you know? So it's funny how this stuff works. See those old values, man, cooking, keeping the children happy, organizing the people, you know?
Right. Right.
She had those gifts. And I recently met her mother at a ceremony that we made her the chief, so, the grandmothers.
Uh-huh.
And her mother
brought
all this food in the trunk. We didn't organize the food thing, but everyone brought food without organizing it. But her mom brought a lot of food. Yeah, so it was the grandmothers that chose her. So.
Yes.
Powerful stuff, man.
That's,
you know,
that's
powerful
very
stuff.
Powerful. Very powerful. And... You know, it's a blessing.
Yeah,
that's a blessing.
Yeah, one day
you know,
you know, one day I'll get the other host. Maybe we'll do a jam together, all of us, right? And just talk about indigenous values, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, this is great. Well, look, man, way over time. What's going on here? What's causing all this? Oh, I got sad news for you. One of my all-time best wrestlers of all time. You know Ric Flair, right?
Yes.
Did you hear what happened to him?
No.
You know Ric Flair, though, right?
Yes, with the, his jewelry and all that. Yeah.
All the robes and stuff like that?
All that. Yeah, I know Ric Flair and Rowdy Piper and all them. Yeah. Yes, please. What happened?
Well, you know, as you know, he's Ric Flair's famous for living the character, right? Living the gimmick. As the playboy,
right.
Right? He lived the gimmick. Well, there's a show on what they call Vibe TV. No, Vibe, is it? Damn, forget the show now. Vibe TV? The cable show, Vibe. I think it's called Vibe. Damn, I'm messing up now. But, yeah, it was an expose. It was a show. It's called Dark Side of the Ring. They give these stories of the dark side of wrestling, whatever. And his name came up as part of a sexual harassment lawsuit. And the woman, the stewardess of an airplane, came forward, you know. And actually one wrestler witnessed what happened. At least 80% of it. So he had to make a statement the other day denying that he sexually harassed her or sexually, you know, inappropriate behavior. But she did show court papers that she did sue the WWE because of it, and she sued the airlines too. And they settled out of court. But it was kind of suppressed, that information. So 20 years later, now he's denying it, but he's already losing. He lost endorsements now. All his merchandise is off the WWE show store.
Right.
I mean, I think he's done, man. Mm-hmm. But damn it, but they don't learn, man.
They don't.
These guys, he denied it, but I mean, I saw the show.
Here's another side too. Just because they settle out of court does not mean that the case is true.
Well, he said it never happened, but.
But do you understand that part of it? Because sometimes they will just settle out of court just to keep it from not even hitting the, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Justin Bieber and all the, you know, baby mamas and, you know, I mean, sometimes
and he
that
he was
stuff
drunk. And they were drunk. They were drunk, most of these wrestlers at this, this incident.
Well,
was
I don't doubt. But, you know, then again, I mean, who knows, none of us were there, but you do know that there are women and males.
Mm-hmm.
Who just go after that bit.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, to play victim or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there really not be a case. That's their hustle.
Yeah. I know.
So, I mean, we're
like in shock.
Well, I would be too, because
it's like hitting home, right? He's like a household name.
Right, that's personal. Like, and especially his eras. You know, I mean, come on, the Migos, the rap group Migos got a Ric Flair song.
Look at that.
You get what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, there are opportunist people. That's all I'm saying. Just because they settled out of court does not mean that it happened.
Yeah.
And those type of situations do happen, like, regularly to normal people, everyday people,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that man was in a powerful position. And I can see either way. I can see either way that there was a potential, you know, predator factor, abuse of power. And then again, you know, here's this man who could have anyone he wants. So why would he have to, you know, revert to that type of behavior? You know what I'm saying? And I mean, maybe, I mean, not that one ain't enough. But I've always just heard of him always just being very flamboyant and getting whoever he wanted, you know, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you got to see the show. You have to see it. It's called the Plane Ride from Hell, I think it's called. The Plane Ride from Hell. It was they were coming from Europe. It was a seven-hour trip from Europe. From England to Connecticut, seven hours. But they were stuck on the runway for 7 hours.
What?
So it was a lot of alcohol consumption.
Right.
There was a lot of stuff going on. Those women were, they went through hell. They went through hell, those women. But he was singled out with the harassment. So I think his career is ruined now. He had a lot of, just today I read the endorsements were canceled, put on hold, whatever. I met him in Puerto Rico briefly. I met him.
Well, you remember old Kobe Bryant, you know?
All right. Oh, what happened?
Should we talk about? Remember when he had the rape accusation?
Yes. It was a 19-year-old, right?
He made out like a bandit. You get what I'm saying? And then you've got
it was adultery. That's what it was. Adultery.
Tiger.
Oh yeah.
Tiger got in trouble for cheating. Let's be real. You know.
Well, they're in their own world.
And he paid for it.
Ruined his career. It took him years to get back.
Poor Jordan. Jordan broke bread for his infidelity.
Oh, Jordan did it? I didn't know about Jordan. Wow.
Yeah, Jordan and his wife. That was, I think, like one of the most expensive divorces at, you know, then. Or Shaq and Shani.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know.
Not easy, man.
And conduct yourselves better, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story.
Exactly. So,
you know, what's interesting? Wow. That book, Think and Grow Rich, which is the Bible of capitalism. There's a chapter dedicated to men and their sex life. This is written in the 1930s. It said most men who lose their fortune, lose their whatever business, is due to their sexual behavior.
Of course it is.
That's right in there. One of the success and sex.
Of course it is.
And I guess back then the language back then was behind a great man is a great woman. You know, they talk up, you know, that language at the time. So.
Yeah. Here's one for you.
Uh-huh.
With great blah, 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 you know, A or B, is great responsibility. Fill in the blanks. With great.
Oh. Yeah.
Either way, comes great responsibility. That's the one I always grew up with. You know?
Yeah, then it was in Spider-Man, too, right? Spider-Man.
Was it?
Yeah, in Spider-Man. Oh, man. So you know what? Should we end the show with a song or something? What do you think?
Why not?
Let me see. What do you think? You know what? Can I go old school urban New York?
Why not?
Urban New York. See, back in the day, back in the 1970s with the gang wars and all that stuff in New York, cities burning and everything. it's the birth of hip-hop and breakdancing. Breakdancing took over the gang wars. So instead of fighting with your fists, your knives, whatever, you know, you will breakdance. So let's take it back, okay? Let's go back to the drum, back to the dance. How about that one?
It's
Urban New York City, 1978. Let's end it with this beat, okay?
Let's
4-1.
Do it.
I'll see you next Wednesday. We got this.
We got this. Thank you, relatives, and thank you, Santa Cory.
Yeah, thank you, listeners. Taino Radio. Look us up, TainoRadio.com, on Facebook, Taino Radio. Peace out.